WST Podcast Final Four preview. We can talk about the Midwest and the South. Then we have a West winner. The East, it's still UCLA, Michigan at the time of this recording. We'll just pick a winner for that game, and then we'll pick who will advance to the final game, and who is our winner, and who is our most outstanding player of the Final Four. Midwest, you have a little coup glove here that you haven't thrown out once.
Agreed. Where Kelvin's resurgence has come from is that he was personally recruited by the AD. And I don't know if we've gone into this, but Houston had a massive donor come about and say, I will build this, but I want to be the architect, play a part in who's hired. So Kelvin, troubled at Oklahoma, got in some issues with recruiting. Andy Katz even came out and said, listen, if Kelvin did what he did back then today, it wouldn't be an issue. It was just the matter of he reached out to, but it wasn't anything malicious. It wasn't even anything in the same stratosphere as Sean Miller and some of these guys Bill Self-Destruction have done. So what I'm saying is Kelvin Sampson's been a good guy, a good coach. You go look at his track record, he's getting what he deserves. So my Cougs. Well, yes, we have a little instance of Cougar fandom within the Cougs of Houston.
The Cougs going to the Final Four since the first time since Phi Slamma Jamma, Clyde Drexler and Elijah Wan. But this team, it's three guards. You're going to see threes in my breakdown here. You've got Sasser, Grimes, and Giroux. They're the three guards. They stretch them out wide. They shoot it deep. Sasser had a big game last game against Oregon State. Grimes, blue chip, went to Kansas, didn't work out, transferred back to his home state. He's their leading scorer. They're going to shoot the threes and they're going to fend. Giroux is their guy who's going to hold down the defense and he's going to take the best player, the best wing on the other team. But here's the difference with the Cougs. They're undersized, 6'7", 6'8", 6'7", but they rebound the heck out of the ball. So they're going to shoot threes. They're going to rebound, and it's going to be intense basketball.
Okay, so here's the thing, and get back to my earlier comment. The Houston program has been funded by Tillman Fertitta. He's a billionaire businessman. If you've seen him, you've probably seen him. He's the richest restaurateur, apparently. But what I like about those guards, especially Giroux, If you listen to the commentary around the Houston games, Giroux is a do-everything guy. He doesn't mind D'ing up. So often you see some of these guys in a little bit of a diva state. But he takes charges. He gets on the ground. He's a loose ball. He's a glue guy. And they've said that about the program or about that guy or Giroux throughout the NCAA tournament. So the guards make it go. And I think we've seen throughout the history of the NCAA tournament, it's not the big men that generally make your team successful, but it's the guards. So Houston's got a good trio that you all just mentioned. Good job, Kevin.
Thank you. And they're going against the Baylor trio. You've got Mitchell, you've got Teague, and you've got Butler. Butler was the Big 12 player of the year. So it's going to be guards versus guards. And with Butler, they shoot it. Like, they're the best three-point percentage team in the country. And Mitchell has the best nickname in the country called Off Night. Because when you go against him, he's going to have an off night. And if you saw them play, they turn it over, they shoot the three, and it's up and down. The guards are going to create offense through a pick and roll. Big guy cuts the hoop, and they're going to lob. And the lane is always open because they shoot the three. It's wide out, it's spread out. And Butler, if I have to pick a team, I'm going Baylor over Houston. Just because it's the three guards versus three guards, I think Baylor's got a better set of all-around guards, and all of their guards play defense. All of their guards can shoot, and all of their guards can turn it over, and they have a deeper bench. So I'm going Baylor over Houston in the first game.
Make them turn it over.
Make them turn it over.
Right. Which is, ironically enough, how Oregon State came back previously against Houston, as they didn't turn the ball over. But that obviously didn't lead to a win on the Oregon State side, although they got absolutely out-rebounded by Houston. I know we kind of progressed past them, but offensive rebounding is going to be a huge, huge, huge stat for this game. The one person you didn't mention, and I'm going to call him 3M, Matthew Mayer Mole. If you look this guy up, so he went to Westlake High School, which is a predominant school in Texas, Austin, Texas, top 100 recruit. And you can see he's kind of the glue guy too. He's similar to Giroux. He'll do everything. He caught a lob for a dunk last game. So he's got some athleticism to him. He might be the key in this game. And I wouldn't doubt, I wouldn't call him the MOP, so I'm not forecasting that. But I wouldn't doubt if he's the guy that makes the difference in this game, because he's such a, you see, he gets the short corner. He gets, you know, a lot of rebounds. He's interesting to me. He's a guy that could propel you over the top. Is that a good enough synopsis of the game and how I think it's going to play out? So it's guards against guards, but I think the 3M, the Matthew Mayer mullet, makes a huge difference. And by the way, why are mustaches and mullets going to be? That'd be an amazing another storyline. Mustache versus mullet.
Well, if you pick Gonzaga over Michigan or UCLA, then it could be the mustache versus the mullet.
Everyone in and around NCAA basketball, this game did not happen during the regular season. Everyone was chomping at it. They said Baylor versus the Zags. And good on Mark Few actually scheduling this game. But Mark Few said, hey, listen, I don't want to go travel. COVID, this was kind of the peak of COVID. He said, we're just going to not play four games. We're going to stay away. There's other programs that were dealing stuff. I think it was like Loyola was dealing with, Marymount was dealing some things. So he said, I'm not going to travel. I'm going to keep my, which in hindsight was very smart. But if we get that game again, like I've said, that would be the epitome of what the NCAA tournament should look like. You have the two best teams playing in the final with some upsets sprinkled in, some surprises, and some great storylines from day one.
As we're recording this, the East Elite Eight game is being played between Michigan and UCLA. The winner will go on to play Gonzaga. We don't even have to break down the East, because Gonzaga's going to beat Michigan or UCLA. I'm sorry for all these Bruin fans out there. We saw what Gonzaga did to USC. They'll do the same thing to UCLA. And Michigan's down one of their best players, Livers. I just don't think they have enough for Gonzaga. So I'm going Gonzaga versus Baylor in the final game. The mustache versus the mullet.
Mustache versus the mullet. We need to copyright that term, though.
Yeah.
The mustache, going back to when they had the Catholics versus convicts, and that guy sold like a million shirts and made $1 million easily. That could be us. Mustache versus the mullet.
So are you agreeing with me it's going to be Gonzaga versus Baylor in the final game?
Mustache versus mullet.com. Huh? Not out there. Call GoDaddy.
Grab it.
Might have spelled mustache wrong. But it'd be asinine not to agree with you, to be honest, because I do agree with you. The Zags are, and it's what I'd want to see. It's what everyone would want to see in a title game. You'd have the entire state of Texas probably rooting for Baylor. We all know that the Longhorns fans all of a sudden went back into the hedges like Homer Simpson and came out with a Baylor hat on. That happened, or Houston had at this point. And then you'd have the entirety of the West Coast, you'd have the Midwest left out and the East Coast left out, which would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And in a little tiny, I mean, the thing about Texas, the time it takes me to drive from Seattle to Texas, it's probably about the same amount of time it takes me to drive from Waco to Houston. Like the state is so darn big. But it would be a great storyline. Drew, not Bryce Drew, not the Alvarezo. Scotty Drew's been there. He's weathered some stuff. But he has a team going for him. I mean, it would be and everyone's brackets would kind of line up at that point, right? You'd have who picked Baylor, who picked Zags. So it would not only the implications of the game, but also, you know, for brackets, like everyone would weather that kind of storm of early upsets and say, as long as you pick a winner, generally you're going to win. So you'd have a lot of people obviously engaged in the game. I agree with you.
All year,
I've agreed with you too much on this episode.
You have, but all year the two best teams have been Gonzaga and Baylor. All year, you could throw Michigan in there when they had livers. So we might get what we want. And you called it a couple weeks ago: the offense of Gonzaga versus the offense of Baylor. Both can shoot it. Both are efficient, and they're just going to run up and down the court, and it's going to be a great game. But the Zags are going to bring it home and win their first national title. Jalen Suggs is going to be the most valuable player in the Final Four.
Everyone, knowing your betting track record, everyone in Spokane, including Santangelo, including who else have we had on? Like the Zags beat writer, they just cringed. In fact, you might want to – I can edit this out if you want to make it a different pick.
No, Zags. K-Win curse is non-existent. Who are you going to pick? Are you going to pick Baylor? So the Big Ben curse actually doesn't affect?
And here's why. Not only 3M is he going to step up, but I don't think the Zags. So here's the difference. The Big 12 is a Power 5 conference.
The WCC is a Power 3 conference.
Oh, the Mountain West is, yes, I guess. Listen, I think it comes down to this. We talk about athleticism, and then if Baylor, why don't we do this? I'll draw a line in the sand. Baylor shoots better than 35% from three, they win the game.
They shoot 40% from the field from three.
If they don't, they probably lose. You listen to Katz, you listen to Barkley, you listen to Kenny Smith. They all say, in terms, and they probably say the same thing as we are saying, that Baylor's more athletic than any team Gonzaga's going to see. Gonzaga's won double digits. And think about the teams they've played. Creighton, man, I mean, I think Gonzaga would have a tougher time with BYU like they did in the WCC championship.
Gonzaga beat Kansas when they were full strength. They beat USC. USC's athletic. Demolish them.
I think USC ran out of juice, and they're young. If you watch that, I watched that first half. And here's my thing, is I don't think USC had the shooting that Baylor does, nor the athletes to hit the offensive rebounds and so forth. So I'll take the Bears. I'll take the Bears. And all of Texas is behind me. They hear this.
Gonzaga beat Kansas, Auburn, West Virginia. Like, they've played athletic.
Look at the tournament. No. I agree. West Virginia took them, played them well. Go back and look at the first half of that game. I'll take the entire state of Texas behind me just to challenge you, and you absolutely just curse the Zags.
I don't understand why you're not rooting for the Zags. This is not a Texas podcast. This is a West podcast. You kick them out of jurisdiction.
As I have a hoop down shirt on, no, I just like this dynamic. Is the intern on?
The intern's taking a nap right now.
Since the inception of the first four in, or last four out, I guess, the play-in games, has there anyone ever gone from a play-in game to the Final Four? That would be a story to tell.
Wake up the intern. Remember when VCU and Shaka Smart, they may have gone to the Elite Eight. I don't know. Did they go to the Final Four that year?
You type faster than I do. Why don't you look that up?
Yes. Here it is. VCU, first four to Final Four. They did it.
Wow.
So there is precedence, but you know what? No one has been in the first four to the Final Four. Win the damn thing. So UCLA Bruins could be the first to do that.
The irony in all this would be if UCLA made it and VCU didn't actually play because of COVID.
Wow. Look at that. Bringing it full circle.
Or the fact that you chose them as your dark horse and absolutely jinxed them. Or the fact that Shaka Smart lost in the first round to Abilene Christian, who's a Texas school that is probably the third of the size of Texas. And Shaka Smart might be not have a job next year.
Oh, no, no, no. He got out of Dodge. He signed with Marquette. He secured a long-term deal with Marquette. He's from Wisconsin. He was on the hot seat at Austin. They bought him out, and he signed with Marquette last week or earlier this week.
Wait. Why are we going to Milwaukee? But I guess it's relevant here. If we're following the Kevin Bacon, like,
yeah, you know. That's the only reason we're taking this to Wisconsin.
But Timmy, does he translate to the next level? Sabonis went to a small market team, but has excelled. He was an all-star this year. And a lot of people didn't know, like, Sabonis came out after his freshman year, I believe. Lefty, maybe a little underdeveloped. But Timmy's been around for, I believe he's a junior.
Timmy's only a sophomore.
Okay, so he's got one more year up. My question to you, would Sabonis be doing this if he would have stuck around in this?
Absolutely. I think Sabonis's game is more in line with the NBA because Sabonis is very athletic. He can shoot. He can block shots. He can switch out and guard. Timmy, he's a sophomore. He's still going to develop. Offensively, he's ready for the NBA. He would have been better suited for the NBA in like the 90s. Like now, if you're a big man like LaMarcus Aldridge, you got to shoot the three. Anthony Davis, he's shooting the three. So is he going to be able to guard those big guys? And then on offense, if you're any team like Steph Curry or Harden, you want your big guys out of the way so you can create and get it to the hoop. But Timmy needs to be on the block. Right.
So if you're in Timmy's camp and you got all the mustache wax in the world, lube that thing up from now until he enters the draft. Should he enter the draft this year? Or should he wait and develop that three-point shot?
Here's the rub. If they win a national championship and he's most valuable player of the Final Four, undefeated, his stock is not higher. Getting any higher.
No. No, you can go out and shoot 34% next year from three and you're not getting any higher.
Without Suggs and Kispert, there's all the attention is going to be on Timmy, which he'll put up numbers, but I think he's got to leave this year.
Now the flip side of that is Kispert Suggs leaving most likely without a doubt. I don't know if Suggs sticks around unless he just loves Spokane that much. Maybe he took up fly fishing or something along those lines, because that's really all there's out to do in Spokane. It's a great city, don't get me wrong, but that's the reason few stuck around. Right? You're kind of under the radar. So what if this happens? And this is a bigger question around the program of Gonzaga, right? If Kispert and Suggs leave, you as Timmy become the focal point of that offense. And I believe they just signed, give me a second, Hunter Salas?
Five-star recruit from Nebraska.
From Nebraska, five-star recruit, I think he's seventh ranked. Very, a lot of talk about how him and Suggs are very similar. Suggs probably a little more athletic, but Salas probably a little better shooter, some have said. But he's a five-star recruit. They just needed him. So really, and then here's the thing, too, is you've looked at outside of programs of Kentucky, when you have a multitude of players coming out of the same program, like that, is there too many players coming in? Like, would you rather have, if you're an NBA team today, would you rather have Kispert? Would you rather have Timmy?
Depends on the personnel, but I'd go Kispert right now. Kispert would shoot the lights out. Kispert's.
Exactly.
I know you hate this. He could be Ray Allen, JJ Redick type, Kyle Korver, just Michael Wright, stick him in the corner. He's hitting the three.
Right. And then where do you slot Timmy as a comp then? Today, without his shooting.
Today. I would have to say he.
It's tough for you to come up with a comp because you can't think of like.
Vucevic in Chicago. That's Timmy's comp. Hear me
No,
out. Vucevic
no.
went to USC.
Vucevic is. He's an extended. No. Vucevic has a much better face-up game than Timmy. Vucevic has that. He can hit the three. I think that's his ceiling. I said prior that the bonus is probably his ceiling. That's his ceiling. That's Vucevic is a three-time All-Star. That's a horrible, in my opinion, a horrible player comp today, as we see Timmy. So try again.
So strike one was Vucevic. Who do you have someone in your mind? Is that why you're saying
No, well, the fact that it's hard for you to come up with a comp
Zach
and
Collins? No. Enes Kanter, because Kanter is good on offense, suspect on defense, gets boards, so Timmy can come off the bench and be an Enes Kanter.
that's actually a pretty decent comp. Kanter's, he'll put up 12 and 8 year over year. That's probably a decent Timmy, but the reason Kanter hasn't stuck with most teams or has floated outside of his, I don't know, his political stances against his home country, it's difficult to see Timmy without becoming a stretch four, which is why you might stick around if you're him. Listen,
Develop that.
these guys leave, there's more shots to be put up. And I don't think Ajay actually, I think, tested the NBA waters last year. So he's inevitably probably gone. I don't think his stock got much higher this year, but he's athletic. He's probably a guy that will find a role as a role player within the NBA or just go make both loads of money overseas. But if I'm Timmy, I might stick around. I might stick around, get shots up, work on my game. Again, if you have three players coming out of the same program and you're not Kentucky,
Yeah.
you didn't get a lot of exposure, maybe outside this run. Maybe you stick around, and I don't think there's much deviation from where he would his draft stock today versus next year.
I agree. He's either going late first round, early second round, whether he comes out this year or next year. But if he comes out more developed, he might have a longer stay in the NBA and he might be able to get two or three contracts and last longer than Enes Kanter did in his home country.
Listen, we're a West Coast podcast. You're a WCC guy. I'm a Pac-12 guy. Let's be honest. We don't watch Big Ten games. We don't watch SEC games. Some might say Drew Timmy is a dime a dozen in those leagues. And I think we've seen
Big
it
Ten
in
was
some of the
soft this year.
Okay, SEC's showing up. Some might say there's more athleticism in the Big 12 and the SEC, where those bigs would be. No matter what the record is for Gonzaga, if they go undefeated and win this championship, like that's a badge of honor, but it doesn't buy you a higher draft grade, right? You still got to be more athletic than the next guy. I think athleticism and shooting is two areas the NBA looks at and says, we can't teach athleticism, and it's tough to teach shooting at that level because the idea that one, the 3-point obviously extension there, but also like if you don't bring that to the table in terms of an offense, you're quickly going to find yourself out of the rotation unless you're just an absolute beast on the boards. And I don't think Timmy has that athleticism or vertical, or I don't know what to make of Timmy.
Look at who he'd be playing against in the West, too. It would be Drummond and Anthony Davis in LA. It would be Serge Ibaka and the Clippers.
Well,
You've
why don't I
got
just
Porzingis.
let me ask you a more pointed question. Would Timmy sniff the rotation on either of those two LA teams?
Portland, yes.
No, I said LA.
No.
Case in point. Would he sniff the
WSB
rotation in
podcast, your Drew
Memphis?
Timmy podcast. All things Drew Timmy, all things Gonzaga.
If he didn't have a mustache, we wouldn't talk about him. The fact that he has a stash, I envy him. I'm building up my beard to go to a stash. So let me ask you another question. Well, it's top of mind.
Yeah.
And it's relative to Gonzaga. What constitutes a blue blood program? Is that still the statement, or do I have that wrong?
No, I think a blue blood program goes back to the early, early days of winning titles. So like UCLA, Kentucky,
Kansas. Wait, hold on. Actually, you're on the right track there. So you have to go ask the Googles, what are the blue blood schools? Say those that you already mentioned again.
Kansas, Kentucky, UCLA, Duke, North Carolina, Michigan State.
See, no? This is the thing. This is probably where we can make a judgment call if the Zags could very well become a blue blood. The last one is where they are playing the
Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been good in since Brick's been born.
Way before Brick, since yeah. I've been born. Come on. So how long do you need to sustain success before you become a blue blood?
20 plus years.
So listen, the Zags, let's look over the past 20 years then.
It's like new money and old money. Like Antangelo said it best, they're new money.
Uh-huh. Keep running on that idea. I like it.
Like new money or old money, like you get your money from mortgage refinancing, an IPO, a street hustle, or is it like sit at a desk, you are a finance guy, you have money from your family and some sort of trust? I don't know where I'm going. Let's switch topics.
No. I think it's relevant. So let me take you back. You said 20 years.
Yeah.
So let me take you back to Mark Few. It's actually been almost 20 years. It's actually more. So Mark Few was the head coach starting in the 1999-2000 season. And we actually went through this with Santangelo, but let me depict what I think you would consider a blue blood is not only sustained success, but winning national titles, right?
Yeah.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. So let me run down the results. And this is just in sequential order here for you. Sweet 16, 10 seed. Sweet 16, 12 seed. Round of 64, 6 seed. Round of 32, 9 seed. Round of 32, 2 seed. Round of 32, 3 seed. Sweet 16. Round of 64. Round of 64. Sweet 16. Round of 32. Round of 32. Round of 32. Round of 32. Now here's where we get into kind of this. All right. Here's my thought. Here's where you get in like the blue blood conversation. All right, you've proven sustained success, but now you get to Sweet 16, runner up, Sweet 16, Elite Eight. And this year, at a minimum, you're in the Final Four.
I think they need at least two titles to be a blue blood. Because all those schools that you mentioned all have NCAA titles. They all have at least two. UCLA has what? 8, 9? Kansas, Duke, even Indiana's won. I think you've got to sustain it for 20 years, and you have to win a national title multiple times.
Can we get Indiana relegated out of the blue bloods? Gonzaga put in?
We should. A little trade.
A little swap there. Indiana's been okay. But, no, an interesting thing to talk about. I don't know if even UCLA, right, they haven't been good as of late. You got the Dukes, you got the,
they have a longer history. They've been playing basketball longer.
Agreed. Well, they haven't had Mark Few for, well, I would say the preference is Mark Few.
Yeah.
I mean, Gonzaga was no one before that time.
Dan Munson got Matt Santangelo to the Elite Eight.
Okay.
That's all. And then he left for Minnesota and did nothing.
And then he left for greener pastures. And that's what I think few is scared of. Thank you to our listeners. Follow. Make sure you follow us so you're getting every episode updated every day. And listen, subscribe, and leave a review. We haven't had a review in a while.
Yeah, so good. 5-star us. And we got some No Filter Network shows coming up. Big Ben's going to talk about Bandon Dunes, and we're going to preview the Masters coming up next week.
Seattle, Portland, LA, San Fran, San Diego, Scottsdale, Phoenix. This is Kay Wynn.
And Big Ben.
And we are Western Standard Time. WSD Podcast. We're everywhere online. Podbean, iTunes, Apple Podcast. What do we talk about, Ben?
We got all sports, NBA, NFL, MLB, Pac-12, WCC. If it's on the West Coast, we got you covered.
You know what else we got you covered? A little lifestyle, a little fun, a little banter to lighten up your day. There are 5-minute life guides.
So whether you live in Seattle, Kansas City, Frisco, Texas, Boston, Worcester, Florida, and you love West Coast sports, make sure you follow us, download us. New episode every Friday.
And we're out.
Boom.
Boom.